Good evening. As we go into the Word, let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. We worship and appreciate you so much that you love us so much that you always seek for our nourishment, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, oh God. You sustain us by your Word because it's the source of all our needs. We magnify and exalt you and know that for us to be well kept and sustained, it's impertinent for us to keep at the source of all things, and that is you. We welcome your presence in our midst tonight and pray for insight and revelation and the understanding of your Word, and that it shall renew our minds and transform our lives into your likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. The title of our message tonight is Having Our Divine Inheritance. Having Our Divine Inheritance. And we are going to study more from Joshua chapter 15. Because as Pastor Kenny had started before he traveled, we had studied the book of Joshua. And last week, you are in Joshua chapter 14. I wasn't around, but I know what Pastor Charles taught. So after Caleb had been given the choice land of Hebron, both out of the Lord's faithfulness and his wholehearted faithfulness, as you studied last week from chapter 14, in chapter 15 we see a description of the land given to Judah, the tribe of Judah. Again, while this may be tedious for us, it was as important to the people of Judah as it would be for us discovering our own unique place and function in the body of Christ. Because remember, for those that could, when God promised Abraham, part of the promise involved this land that we are now being allotted. Amen? So now that they were having it in reality, it equates to the way we find our place in Jesus Christ. When we have the promises of God that are to us yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and we are assured that we are joint heirs with him, it gives us an assurance of what we are all about, of having value. Amen? So, also because we should remember that all these things were written for our learning, and that we are types of what God has given us to enjoy in this present age of grace, let's not tire to read through some of these names that I even had to pronounce. Let's read through the chapter first. Chapter 15 of Joshua. So this was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. The border of Edom at the wilderness of Zin, southward was the extreme southern boundary, and their southern border began at the shore of the Salt Sea, from the bay that faces southward. Then it went out to the southern side of the ascent of Akrabim, passed along to Zin, ascended on the south side of Kadesh Barnea, passed along to Hezron, went up to Adar, and went around to Karka. From there it passed toward Asmon, and went out to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your southern border. The east border was the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan. And the border of the northern quarter began at the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan. The border went up to Beth Hogla and passed north to Beth Araba. And the border went up to the stone of Bohan and the son of Reuben. Then the border went up toward Debir, from the valley of Akor, and it turned northward toward Gilgal. which is before the ascent of Adumim, which is on the south side of the valley. The border continued toward the waters of En Shemesh and ended at En Rogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom to the southern slope of the Jebusite city, which is Jerusalem. The border went up to the top of the mountain that lies before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of Rephaim northward. Then the border went around from the top of the hill to the fountain of the water of Nephtoah and extended to the cities of Mount Ephron. And the border went round to Bala, which is Karjath Jearim. And the border turned westward from Bala to Mount Seir, passed along to the side of Mount Jearim, to the north, which is Shes Salon, went down to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. And the border went out to the side of Ekron, northward. Then the border went around to Shikron, passed along to Mount Bala, and extended to Jabneel. And the border ended at the sea. The west border was the coastline of the Great Sea. This is the boundary of the children of Judah, all around according to their families. I'm planning to get a map to illustrate what that was in literal terms. That demanded a water break. Verse 13. Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely, Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly, the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. We are in verse 20. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. The cities at the limits of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the border of Edom to the south were Kabzeel, Eda Jagu, or Jagu, Kina, Dimona, Adada, Kedesh, Azo, Ithnan, Zef, Telem, Bealoth, Hazo, Hadata, Kerioth, Hezron, which is Hazo, Ammam, Shima, Molada, Hazagada, Heshmon, Beth Pelet, Hazashul, Beersheba, Bizjotha, Bala, Ijim, Ezim, El Tolad, Shesil, Homa, Ziklag, Madmana, Sansana, Lib, Baoth, Shilhim, Ain, and Rimon. All the cities are 29 with their villages. And I encourage you who are still giving birth, don't name your children those names, because these days people are naming children exquisite names. In verse 33 continues, in the lowland, Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zanoa, En Ganim, Tapua, Enam, Jamuth, Adullam, Soko, Azeka, Sharaim, Adithaim, Gedera, and Gederothaim, 14 cities with their villages. Zinan, Hadasha, Midgal, Gad, Dilian, Mizpah, Joktil, Lachish, Boz, Kath, Eglon, Kabon, Lamas, Kitlish, Gederoth, Beth, Dagon, Nama, Makeda, 16 cities with their villages. Libna, Ether, Ashan, Jifta, Ashna, Nezib, Kila, Akzib, and Meresha, 9 cities with their villages. Ekron with its towns and villages. From Ekron to the sea, all that lay near. Ashdod with their villages. Ashdod with its towns and villages. Gaza with its towns and villages. As far as the brook of Egypt and the great sea with its coastline. And in the mountain country, Shamir, Jatir, Soko, Dana, Kijath, Sana, which is Debir again, Anab, Eshtomo, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo. 11 cities with their villages. Arab, Duma, Eshian, Janum, Beth Taphua, Apheka, Hamta, Kijath Abba, which is Hebron, and Zio. 9 cities with their villages. Maon Kamel, Zif, Juta, Jezreel, Jokdim, Zanoah, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah. 10 cities with their villages. Halhul, Beth Zul, Gedor, Marath, Beth Anoth, El Tikon, 6 cities with their villages. Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages. In the wilderness, Beth Araba, Midin, Sekaka, Nibshan, the city of salt, and Engedi, 6 cities with their villages. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. Amen? Welcome back from Jerusalem and Israel as per Judah. Surely if you read the Old Testament, especially around David's history, you'll notice many of these cities resounding, all right? Which proves the reality of the Bible. Because the mentioning of these cities assures us that the Bible is not hearsay. Singero zawakaima newango. I'm sorry, I teach Luganda here on Sundays, so many times Luganda may keep on escaping, but it's okay, this is a Wednesday service, we can go in both. So, the tribe of Judah had the first portion. Their inheritance was in the high country, adjacent to and southwest of Jerusalem. Judah was the royal tribe and was honored of God in a very special way. But the other tribes also had their portion in different parts of the land, each one having its own particular values, but divided by the casting of lots. The book of Proverbs reads that the lot is cast in the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Amen? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. And I heard Pastor Charles explain to you what a lot is, the die that they cast. But as it is, we know that the Lord directed Joshua into using this method, doubtless in order to avoid what may have seemed like partiality in giving the tribes their inheritances. And also, as pointed out last week, that the Lord was placed first in all matters pertaining their lives and livelihoods. And I remember we were exhorted, though I wasn't here, I listened to the message, to always put the Lord first regards our livelihoods. Amen? It is unfortunate, however, that many of these tribes that were allotted this land failed to make a full end of their enemies. all these cities that I've been mentioning had inhabitants in them. And when Israel was given that land, the command of the Lord was that you take over the land. You get that? Drive out its inhabitants, either destroy or annihilate them, or push them all out and take over the land as your own. It is your portion. And no one will be able to gainsay your portion, because it is a divine portion. You get that? Because he had assured them that whatsoever ground the soles of your feet shall tread upon, that shall be yours. Amen? So, we know that all this was compromise. And compromise with evil never pays. Because in days, months, years to come, those very peoples that they failed to drive out, that they spared, that they should have exterminated, either became a snare to them, as the Lord had warned them, and led them into idolatry, or else they brought great havoc upon them and attacked them often, destroying cities and farms. If you remember in the Judges, the experience that they had with the Midians. So God had warned them that this would be happening, but for one reason or another, they did not destroy them. And you know what? The Lord forewarns you. Surely, if you do not hearken to his forewarning, it comes to pass. Amen? Because we see, for example, concerning Judah, at the end of this chapter 15, in verse 63, where we are told that as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. That is the time of recording. Jerusalem, the city of peace and the city of the Mount of the Lord, was held by the Jebusites for a long time until the time of David, when they were finally driven out of Jerusalem. You could refer to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 to 7. But this wasn't the first time that the Israelites had tried to drive the Jebusites out. But David took it upon himself, because he had been taunted that the blind and the lame would be able to stop him from taking over the city. He said, how can that be? So he went over and made sure that he takes it and places the flag of Israel, literally, on the Mount of the Lord, and it became the city of Israel. So tonight we may well learn from the failures of Israel to beware lest we ourselves fail to judge every evil thing that Satan would use to hinder our enjoyment of the things of Christ. Remember, as I mentioned earlier on, that the names of these cities may be very many and complicated even to pronounce, but so would be the innumerable promises that we are given as children of God. Very many and literally innumerable. Not so? But if we do not take it upon ourselves to see that is our inheritance by divine right, and take it upon our portion and enjoy it, and let Satan or the devil hinder us from fulfilling the Lord's promise to us because of one reason or another, it causes us to fail and to put not only ourselves but the Lord's name to shame. And that is not his worth. Amen? That's not the Lord's worth. Because we are called to deal unsparingly with, for example, every unholy and evil thought, every sinful tendency, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And it is only then that we can appreciate and truly enjoy in the way the Lord would have us enjoy the great privileges and manifold blessings that he has given us. Amen? So, it's for our awareness that sin unjudged results in weakness and a loss of communion, which can only be restored as we face the sin in the presence of God, confessing and forsaking it, and therefore obtaining mercy and the assurance that all is forgiven. As we read in the Old Testament, now in Calvary Chapel we read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's very important, if I would use the word pertinent, for us to observe and learn from great heroes of the Bible, like David, Solomon, Samson, who, much as were greatly called and anointed of the Lord, surely did not fulfill to the maximum their potential. You see? And from it learn from their pitfalls and see where we ourselves should not yield to or fall to, because it wreaks havoc and causes shame to the kingdom of God. It causes us, for example, like it would have actually kept on doing for the Israelites if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, like Moses says in Psalms 92, that until that whole generation had to live out 8 years, they had to keep on suffering in the wilderness. I reckon last time while I was thinking about it that if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy and that very generation had perished, imagine how, if it wasn't safe for Moses' prayer that if Israel had been taken out of Egypt and all of them had perished in the wilderness, the Egyptians would have said, after all those 10 plagues that had happened to the Egyptians, you see? Such things are uncalled for, really. Such things are uncalled for. As we have noted these lists, there are some cities like Debir and Hebron which had to be taken more than once because the people that were in it were great warriors and they were strong. But that didn't deny the fact that those lands still belonged to the Israelites. They just had to step up their levels of faith or strength or whatever they needed to wait upon the Lord for and still have those lands as their portion. But my highlight for the study tonight is, as we turn back and consider briefly an incident that shines out brightly in the midst of all these long lists of Hebrew names. We have already considered the energy of Caleb, or Caleb, however you may pronounce it, who we know has a testimony of having been wholeheartedly faithful to the Lord, to the point that, as we read last time, or as was read last time, at 85 he still had the strength of a 45-year-old man. And he was able to say to Joshua, I am able to take the mountains where the giants are. Because he knew for sure that what God says is his or belongs to him is what he must have. Not in his own strength, but because of God's faithfulness. So all he had to do was to rely upon God's faithfulness so that he himself would be sustained to be faithful. I hope you caught that. But in verse 13 of chapter 15, we read that now to Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron. And Arba was, not Abba, but Arba, was the father of Anak. And we know Anak, these were the giants, the Anakim giants. Kiriath Sefa means the city of the book. And as I was studying why, it was thought that it was probably named so because there was an ancient library located there. And its name was later changed to Debir, which means the oracle or the word. And in interpretation, it suggests that the word of God, which he speaks directly to his people, was prevalent in that place. So when Caleb, who we know had gotten the word of the Lord, as was written in Numbers, when the spies went out to spy the land and they stood with Joshua and said, "We are able to take this land because the Lord has promised it to us and we are able to take it. We won't be like these guys who are seeing themselves as grasshoppers before their other eyes and their eyes as grasshoppers." He says, "They are like bread to us." We see Caleb with his energy set an example to the younger men, his comrades, his relatives. In what comes out in verse 16, chapter 15 of Joshua, verse 16 says, "And Caleb said, 'He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it to him, I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife.'" And in response to Caleb's challenge, we are told that Othniel, who happened to be his nephew, took Kirjath Sefer, and thus the city of the book or the word became his inheritance. I could imagine myself that Caleb knew of Othniel's potential and just laid out the challenge, because he needed to marry off his daughter to the right suitor. And fortunate enough, the right suitor had to be a man of great courage and a man of great faith. And Othniel ended up being that man. Actually, Othniel later became the first judge of Israel, if you read in Judges chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. But we see here that when Caleb's daughter, Aksha, was given out in marriage, she suggested to her husband that he ask for her the field, a petition which Caleb readily granted. But then Caleb's daughter, still being wise, realized that the field without water was worthless. So she herself approached her father, still in an attitude of supplication. And when she dismounted from her donkey and her father asked, "What do you wish?" she answered in verse 19, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Now, consider the culture of the Israelites, that it wasn't the women's say to possess land. You get that? But it seemed the same genes flowing through Caleb had gotten to the daughter. And she took the faith, of which we clearly must learn, that when the Lord gives us that which we imagine is sufficient for us, we should not settle for that. Amen? The Englishman has said, good is the enemy of the best. Not so? Because many times when we settle for good, we miss out on what is the best for us. And that shouldn't be our lives. Because when we settle down and are complacent and seek to enjoy the norm of life or the norm of our livelihoods, we end up taking things that are special and precious to us for granted. That's why many of us, quotes, Pentecostals, take for granted the blessings of the Lord. We take for granted His grace, His mercy, His love, His power. Because we choose to settle for good. And good enough is not what the Lord demands of us. Amen? He wants us to be enthralled, to be awed by His glory in our lives. So that, as we know, it is written, they go from glory to glory that come before the Lord in His presence or in His temple. I've paraphrased it. You've heard that scripture. You get that? Because the Lord wants us rising from glory to glory. He wants us rising from victory to victory. What causes the devil, Satan, to have a lot of influence in these last days is because we that are supposed to be influencing the world with light are laying back and taking rest because the Lord is prospering us and giving us peace to rest. As we hear these days. Forgetting that when the children of God slept, the enemy came in and sowed tears. You know? All these analogies come to me because they're supposed to reawaken us to our divine inheritance. Because we know that in the world, people yearn for a lot because there is no satisfaction in the things of the world. Not so? So, the one that has a bicycle after having worked for years, seeks for a primo, then from a primo, you know, until they start dreaming of flying planes. I saw some so-called pastor some time ago when he had a Nissan, a white Nissan. I won't mention his name. But he's so wealthy, by the way. But he's also part of those that dream of having planes. So if in the world people can imagine that, why shouldn't we desire for the spiritual territory that should be ours, whereby we move in the glory of the Lord unhindered? Amen? Where what we see or read in the Bible is so true to us. And it is true that the church of the latter day shall surely be greater than that of the former. As in meaning, the Acts 2-7 church, we should just learn from and be greater in the days before Christ comes. Because we are living in the last days, not so? And he says so in the Old Testament here, that the glory of his house in the latter days shall be greater than the former. So I encourage us that the faith of Othniel and Akshah may be duplicated in us, who through the grace that we have been blessed with, when we are told that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and that is beyond our comprehension, not so? We've heard of miracles, signs, and wonders. And some of us think that they are of those days, which is not true, because God the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So we should yearn to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst us in this generation to greater yields of a harvest into His kingdom, to greater yields of influence, when whole cities and nations shall be worshipping Jesus Christ as Lord, God, and Savior. Where we will not struggle to chase demons or evil spirits. Where we will not be hearing scandals in church on the pulpit. Amen? But we have been told to ask and we shall be given. To seek and we shall find. To knock and the doors shall be opened. So, we should be so yielded to the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that He may make very real to us the precious things of Jesus Christ and give us to enjoy our full inheritance. Amen? Because the Spirit and the Word linked together, both in a connection of the new birth that we enjoy as the Christian experience, should be so real, a manifestation of the truth, not only to us but to others, where we will not cry, "Oh God, where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? Where is our God?" Where we will be singing songs and singing lies in church. We should sing songs knowing that the songs we are singing are real and things must be happening in our lives. Amen? Amen? So, taking it from the blessing we have here in Calvary Chapel, that we have the Word of God. We must have that Word of God with the unction of the Holy Spirit who is filling every believer, acted upon, so that Christ may dwell richly in our lives. Hallelujah. And so that we may be a blessing, an increasing blessing. You know, you can be blessed, yeah? And you're able to bless someone. But it is normal that even you yourself feel like, "I need to be a greater blessing." Isn't it normal? Yeah. Because even you get tired because of the wear and tear of these blessings. And you feel, "I should be a greater blessing. I should be able to help that person in need, but I'm able to help just this much." Let us exercise our faith so that it may grow. Amen? Let's keep at the source and seek to have the best the Lord has promised us to inherit as His children. Hallelujah? Yeah. Thank God for His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word tonight. We give You praise. We give You glory. We give You honor. For challenging as it has come, O God, we are sure that You, O God, shall watch over it and cause a stirring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A stirring, O God, of the bearing of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that as Your breath comes upon Your Word, we shall yearn, O God, for the richness of it all, for the power and the greatness of it all, for its sovereignty and supremacy, O God, in bringing about divine order, not only in our personal lives, but in our homes, in our marriages, in church, in ministry, in our city, in our nation, that it shall be a reality, O God. We know it's not by power, nor by might, but by Your Holy Spirit. So, O Lord, we pray, go forth, O God, and make every crooked path straight. Level the mountains. Remove the hindrances, O God. And cause us, O God, to be stirred up to take up our divine inheritance. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.